Now turn to the Word of God tonight, brothers and sisters. The little book first, and we read here simply the first three verses. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And this is the Word of the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. God's Word. Let's pray again. Father, give us grace now and power, strength as we give attention to Your Word. We pray You to sanctify us. Father, quicken us in this hope, this lively hope of when we will see our Savior, Your beloved Son. We ask it for His name's sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, last time we were in the Scriptures in the evening, with me that is, we focused on the Great White Throne Judgment and that last day in which all men will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We read from Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." We saw, among other things, that for those without Christ, their ultimate face-to-face experience with Christ will be a dreadful thing. As they stand before their judge, they stand before that one whom they've rejected, and they realize fully, not that they don't know it now, but they realize fully that, yes, they answer to Him. And they realize fully, though they don't realize it now, they realize fully that the Word of God is the standard by which they're judged. And that judgment of God is exhaustive in every respect. Well, tonight we think on a different dimension of that. That is the dimension that we will enjoy as those who are known of the Lord, those who know Him. As believers, we eagerly anticipate that ultimate face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the little portion we read here, God, by His Spirit, by the Apostle John, helps us to know how to think about this. This our sure hope, our bright hope, our great hope. And we see two features of this in these few verses tonight. The first is the present glory, which we enjoy. Present glory with which we've already been bestowed. And secondly, the future glory. Now, sometimes we'll describe this in terms of the already and the not yet. You know, that which we presently enjoy as believers, and that which we will one day very soon enjoy when we see the Savior. So first of all, the present glory, John speaks of that here, what God in His love has already bestowed. Now this is described in the Scriptures really in many ways, but a wonderful way here. Verse 1 again. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." So he speaks, he writes here of this great, this astonishing love that's already been bestowed upon us, and that we know this. This is present experience. We enjoy this now. How do we know it? Well, we know it because certainly he tells us clearly in His Word, and the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit by word and sacrament that it's so. He calls us His own dear children. He tells us of His love for us and His acceptance of us in many places in the Scripture. And so John says, think on this. Well, what marvelous love God has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Just as the Apostle writes in Romans 5, there he writes, "We rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So as we look ahead, we rejoice in our hope, don't we? And this hope we have is it's not a dead or merely intellectual thing. Ours is a lively hope, we say, because God has already shown himself to us and spoken to us of his great love. And of course, he increases that in us as well. He speaks to us again and again about his love for us, and we learn to rejoice in it more and more as time goes on, to exult in it more and more as time, we sing of it more and more as time goes on. What wonderful love that God has shown to us. Yes, we say, a great, an astonishing love. Now, even as we say that, we realize we haven't seen all of it, have we? By any means. I mean, this is something we'll marvel at for time to come, yes? This great love of God. I know recently I heard reports that in Marcus Sunday School class there was this discussion, you know, about will we keep learning? I don't remember precisely what his answer was, but will we keep learning in glory? I mean, we'll be perfect then, right? We'll be glorified, we'll be perfectly sanctified. Will we keep learning? My answer is yes. I don't remember what he answered just now, but yes, we will. And this is a feature of it, isn't it? We'll continue to learn of this great, this astonishing love of God. There's a sense in which we'll know it, yes, to perfection, in the sense that we'll be fully convinced of it, but we'll continue to grow in it at the same time. So we look ahead, we say we rejoice in our hope. Great and astonishing love. And yes, already there's a dramatic change that God in his love has brought about. A change of status and a change of condition. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So change in our status. We see it here, don't we? We're called children of God. We are children of God. We're called beloved. Beloved of God. Our status has entirely changed. Once we were children of darkness, and we were part of the kingdom of darkness, and now our status is entirely different. Children of God, and all that that means. And our condition has been wonderfully changed as well, hasn't it? We're entirely different from the world. See how John puts it here? He says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. We're entirely different from the world. Now, on any given day, we don't necessarily feel that way, to be sure. But we really are entirely different from the world. Though our true glory, our true status, we think about being children of God, our true status is hidden from the eyes of the world. In other words, the very thing in which we most rejoice, in that the world has no appreciation for. They don't see it, of course, at all. The world does not appreciate us. It does not recognize us, does it? You'd say, in fact, quite the opposite. The world rejects us. The world recognizes its own. The world recognizes its own kind. By the way, this is a good test to my identity. As the world, how does the world react to me? We say the world has no conception of what we are as those born of God, and thus God's true children. And the deepest reason for this is that the world doesn't know God, and it's rejecting of him. So if the world is rejecting of God, the world is rejecting and will be rejecting of those born of God. So John says, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Of course, the world is proud of its knowledge, but the real things worth knowing it does not know. The mystery of regeneration, the new birth, that's foolishness to the world, right? Nonsense in its eyes. So, you know, let no true Christian count on recognition from the world to be loved and appreciated according to our true identity. Think about it this way. I mean, the names of God's most eminent servants are not engraved on the monuments within the world's temple of fame. So the world doesn't recognize us. The world does not know us. As John says here, the world does not appreciate us. You could say the world doesn't get it. The world doesn't understand who we really are, what our true identity is. And how could they? That's the point he's making here. How could they when they're rejecting of God? So this is our present glory. We're children of God. This is the already. This great love of his already bestowed upon us. What about future glory? We think of the already and we think of the not yet. What about future glory? John writes of that here clearly, doesn't he? Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. But here's the fulfillment. This is the glory we look forward to. There's this change unto perfection yet to occur. John says here, now we are children of God. Now, of course, fixes attention on the present time. We look very much like other people. The world doesn't comprehend that we're really anything higher and mocks such an idea. But there's this transformation to come. Oh, a transformation, John says, hitherto unrevealed. This isn't revealed yet. It will be revealed. It's a transformation brought about when? At Christ's appearing. That's when it takes place, as the scripture says in another place. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? Dead in Christ shall rise. It's brought about at Christ's appearing, this transformation. And it is the transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Who can fully grasp this? Transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So hitherto unrevealed, brought about at Christ's appearing, and a transformation into his likeness. So not revealed yet, we say, hitherto unrevealed. God has not yet made a public display of the glory that belongs to his children. But he will. That's not happened yet. Not yet does the crown of glory sparkle on our heads. The robe of Christ's righteousness is invisible to physical eyes. We talk about this. We exult in it all the time. You know, I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is an unchanging status of favor that I have before the Lord because he's clothed me in but the world doesn't see it at all. Of course, it is invisible. Not something we see with physical eyes. But it will be seen. Christ's righteousness will be fully seen in us. It's not been revealed yet, but it will be. We still wrestle with the flesh. We're in a fallen world, we wrestle with mortal bodies. We plod on, awaiting our hope, the redemption of our bodies. And we wait, don't we? We wait for this. So it's a transformation to come. Very soon, really, very soon. And but not yet revealed. We say it's a transformation brought about at Christ's appearing. John writes, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. It's brought about when he appears. Now here on earth, we're in a humiliation that's similar to that of Christ's. But eventually we shall be in a glory that's also similar to that of his. And this will be brought about, we say, at his appearing. When Jesus is revealed in all of his glory, then the transformation is brought about in all of God's children. He appears and we're changed entirely. As in a moment, brought about at his appearing. Now the apostle by the Spirit of God says, we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, how do we know it? How did he expect that these believers knew this? How is it that the Spirit of Christ expects us to know it? Well, certainly because it's taught in other places in the scripture, but also this. We know this really to be the very nature of our sanctification presently. What do I mean by that? Well, our glorification is simply our sanctification brought to completion. We say, yes, this is how it's been for us in our pilgrimage so far. It's a function of faith presently. As we see our Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his word, we're changed into his image from one degree of glory to another. What am I saying here? Here and there we'll say this or we'll make this point. How is it, when we think of our sanctification now, how is it that any of us are changed? And one very proper way biblically to think of it is this way. I am changed whenever I see Jesus Christ with eyes of faith. In fact, as we describe it that way, that is the only way anyone is ever changed. It's by seeing Jesus Christ, we could say more of Christ, more of his glory, seeing more of him with eyes of faith. And sometimes we have the question, you know, how will I be changed? How is it that I am changed as a Christian? How is it that I'm sanctified? How's this come about? And here's the answer. One way to answer it from Scripture, but very central in terms of answer. I'm changed when I see God. Put it that way. I'm changed when I see Jesus Christ. Now, that helps us in a number of ways. One of the ways it helps us is as we think about the nature of worship, for instance. We think about the nature of worship when we come here on a Lord's Day, morning and evening. Why are we coming here? And you can answer that a lot of ways. But why are we coming here? Really, at its heart is, we're coming to see Jesus, aren't we? We're coming to meet with him. We're coming to hear him speak to us. That's the heart of what we're doing when we come to worship. Really, every time we come to the Word, that should be the heart of it. And we would see Jesus within this. We sing this, the hymn, right? Within the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. That's what we're doing. And this is what the preacher endeavors to do as well. This is the proper mission of the preacher. What is it? My place, my proper role as preacher is to bring my listeners to Jesus and leave them with him. Now, that's really the nature of preaching. That's what's supposed to happen in preaching. That's my assignment, so to speak. I want to bring you to Christ. I want you to hear him. I want you to have an encounter with Jesus Christ as often as the word is preached. Why? Well, because that's the purpose of preaching. But that's the only way we're ever changed is by, we say, seeing the Lord Jesus with eyes of faith. So we make that point. Any and every real change in us has taken place because we've seen something more of Christ, because he's shown us something more of himself, because we've come to know him better. So, yes, how's this fit in with glorification? Well, it's the unhindered vision of Christ that ultimately transforms us entirely when we see him as he is. That's why we're changed. So all we're saying here is, with respect to our sanctification, that's the same way it happens now. Every additional true view I get of my Savior changes me, transforms me. That's the only thing that changes me. And unto glorification. The old writers would call this, thinking to the future now, seeing Christ. The old writers, of course, called this the beatific vision. To see Christ, to see him fully. And when he's revealed to us fully, what a change that will bring. Really, I mean, all of us will say something like, wow! Isn't this amazing? I'm entirely different. I mean, I'm entirely different. And it all comes about by seeing the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the revealer of God. By seeing him, when he appears, all limitations stripped away, and we see him finally not through a glass dimly, but face to face, and we are thus entirely transformed into His image in righteousness and true holiness. So we say, yes, this is a transformation that takes place when we see Christ, and it is a transformation into His likeness. John writes, we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Paul writes, Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. We don't want to lose sight of the total transformation. We will be transformed body and soul. Ours will be the strong and glorious resurrection body very soon. Now, what's the fruit of that hope that we have in Christ? This is our hope. We'll see Christ very soon. When we see Him, we'll be changed. And what's the fruit of that? In other words, I mean by that just now, the fruit of believing this truth, of having this sure hope. What's the fruit of that? John writes, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We could render it actually. He continues to purify himself just as he is pure. Resting on him. Everyone who has this hope resting on him continues to purify himself just as he is pure. So what's the fruit of this hope that we have in Christ? What's the proper fruit of it? Well, continuous, lifelong pursuit of holiness. That's the fruit. You could say, well, how do we know we've really gotten it? Now that we really believe that we will shortly see him face to face and be transformed into entire purity and holiness. When we get it, or as we get it, according to faith, we are endeavoring to purify ourselves. So we can say, to the degree that I get that, the degree has been brought home to my heart, this is its fruit, then, a seeking of holiness. So we have a lively regard for holiness in our life. And not the false, stuffy, self-righteous stuff, but a lively regard for true holiness in our lives, which is to say, we mean we love Christ and we want to please Him above all else. We mean that we don't want anything to hinder our felt sense of His acceptance and love. We mean that we have an increasing zeal to put off the old and put on the new. Now, we can think of it from the other direction, too. When we think about this hope purifying us, what do I mean when I say this? Well, also focusing upon this reality, this truth of Jesus' return and our complete transformation through Him, this has a purifying effect in our lives. Wonderful. What I mean just now is wonderful motivation to personal holiness. So you can think of it from that direction as well, right? This has a motivating effect. In other words, as I think about Jesus returning, and we need to think about it often, as we think about Jesus returning, as we think about seeing Him, and we think about being transformed when we see Him, that motivates me properly. That motivates me with respect to holy living. Very simply put, what if the Lord Jesus Christ returned tonight? I'll tell you what time it is right now. It's 6:09 right now. We're about to sing our closing hymn and sing the refrain we sing afterwards and benediction. What if right at the benediction, wouldn't that be something? Right at the benediction, Jesus returns. Wow. We need to think about that. We need to think about it often. And what we're saying just now is the fruit of thinking about it often is I'm purified by that truth, by apprehending it as I apprehend it by faith. That motivates me toward true holiness. We close with this. What's the endeavor of the Christian? What is our endeavor? We've talked about this in Nehemiah. You know, our endeavor is to be building the church. Our endeavor is to be ever defending the church. But in this context tonight, what's our endeavor? We're ever struggling against sin, and we're looking for the appearing of Christ. That's what we're waiting for. The appearing of our great God and Savior. Looking to Christ, seeking to abide in Him as we're looking to Him. We're seeking everything in Christ. Thus, yes, we're seeking to purify ourselves from sin. This is His work in us. He brings it about by His Word as He brings it to our hearts. But this is our endeavor. The seeking of our Savior. Ever looking for His appearing. We need to think about it often, we say tonight. We need to talk about it often. Coming of Christ. We need to talk about it in our families often. Christ will soon appear. It's very easy for us to be taken up with present things, right? Got to go back to work tomorrow, right? Things we'll be doing later tonight. It's very easy to get taken up with present things and to cease to that degree, to cease thinking about this amazing reality which very soon will take place. Brothers and sisters, we should think on it often. The return of our Savior and our complete transformation into His image. We give Him praise for it. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that You bring this truth more and more to our hearts. Your soon return of our Savior, our seeing Him and thus being transformed by Him. Clouds are rolled back as a scroll. Trumpets sound, the Lord descend. We give You thanks. We give You praise for this spiritual reality. Please, Father, we pray, bring it more to our hearts and so sanctify us, change us even now. Change us more into the image of Your beloved Son. We ask it in His name. Amen.